Palmetto Mornings on WRHI and CN2.
Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. If you're going my way, well, I want to drive it all night long. Through all these cities and all these towns, it's in my blood and it's all.
This Thursday edition of Palmetto Mornings, 22 degrees. Hey, I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Ashley Lang.
We are catching up with Fort Mill, Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. the CEO, Chris Mitchell, joins us here on Palmetto Mornings as we're kicking off a new year. We're going to kind of look at what's on the horizon for 2025 in Fort Mill. And good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Always enjoy catching up with you. Told everyone I will stay on course here because Chris and I are friends outside of the microphones, and he's just a fantastic guy and lucky to have you here in our community as CEO of Piedmont Fort Mill. Sorry, I don't know why I'm struggling with that so much, Chris. I guess I'm just excited to have you here in the
yeah,
studio.
Yeah, well, I like the pun that you had. You said on course, and you know, as you know, we're both runners,
yes.
And that's where we enjoy spending time.
He's the master of puns, Chris.
No, I'm impressed. It was either a dad joke or a pun I was expecting.
So Maybe a little bit of both.
Okay, well, we still got time.
It becomes a dad joke when you tell the joke and you laugh following the joke. That is why it's called a dad joke.
I like that.
If you deliver it and you don't laugh, then it's just a regular joke. Because I'm like, what constitutes a dad joke? And that's what somebody told me one time. If the dad is uttering the joke and then you laugh as soon as you deliver it, makes a dad joke.
Okay, Renee's taking notes for us.
Yeah, so
okay, now I know why I'm
over here
laughing.
Just nodding my head.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm laughing with you too.
Ashley's like, how did I get in this interview?
Yeah, I know. She probably asks herself that daily too, Chris. All right, well, let's look at the Fort Mill campus. So 2025 is here, and you've got your bariatric surgery program. So let's bring our audience up to speed, what we're talking about here, and what this program looks like in the new year.
Yeah, so bariatric surgery is obviously a weight loss surgery, right? And I think we've talked about it a few times, but we do it robotically. We have three surgeons doing it. Fellowship trained surgeons. And so I think, you know, this is what I would say about bariatrics at Fort Mill, a couple things. We're in the pursuit of center of excellence. So we've actually accomplished all the bullet points or requirements for center of excellence. Center of excellence is accredited through the American College of Surgeons. And effectively at this point, we're waiting for them to come on site and say, hey, you're doing everything, which we know we're doing everything today, of course. So that's really exciting. And that I think will expand, you know, just the program awareness and our ability to take care of more and more patients that need it. And I think there's obviously a lot in the news about the GLP-1s and Ozempic and Wegovy and what's the best option for you. And I'm absolutely not going to opine on that. I can talk about running, but not what's clinically best for somebody. I think the best encouragement I can give folks is if you're thinking about doing something, right, from a weight loss perspective, come meet the team. We have a bariatric navigator. Her name's Melissa Herman. You can find her on the website and through some other channels. And just talk about it, right? It might be the right option for you, and something else may be the right option for you first, and then maybe that's the right option. And so I think the best thing from the perspective of weight loss is have a conversation about it.
Chris, who qualifies for bariatric surgery? Do you have to weigh a certain amount, meaning if you're a guy or a female and you've got a love handle and you just can't get rid of it, that's, from my understanding, not what the surgery is for, correct?
Right. So the beauty of that question is you can go online at Piedmont Medical Center and actually take a live seminar. And which answers that type of question, what insurances cover it, what don't, what's the process? Because each insurance, and we were talking about insurance before we came on the air, is a little bit different in what they require. Some require 3 months of nutritional visits. Some require behavioral health counseling. And so it is a little bit different. And that's where I'd say, you know, I encourage you to reach out, talk to Melissa, because Melissa will help you navigate, personally navigate you through the process. But to get a foundation, go online, listen to the seminar, and it talks through absolutely every part of that.
How often are these surgeries happening now? Is this something that happens daily at Piedmont? Does it happen weekly? Like, I feel like it's grown a bit over the past couple of years. And of course, that's probably due to technology.
Right.
But how often are these surgeries happening?
Yeah, we're doing them at least weekly. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And so I think, again, that's, you know, we always say repetition is the mother of skill. Not a joke, but a good quote. and so the more you do, the better we are. That we have a team dedicated for this. Like I said, we do it on the robot. And so we're doing them weekly, and we have proficiency, and the outcomes we've seen are fantastic. I mean, we have a testimonial we posted on a few social media channels. And it's just awesome to see the results of this surgery. It's incredible, really.
Well, it's life-changing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, speaking of robots, you all have reached a milestone there at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill with 100 Makos. Again, same thing. Let's just kind of explain what we're talking about here.
Yeah, not a shark,
yeah.
Right? It's an orthopedic robot, and it helps our surgeons do total hips and total knees. And I think the coolest thing about that is for 30 years, total knees and total hips haven't really changed. I mean, some of the instrumentation has changed. Some of the technique maybe has changed, but it's really a lot comes down to the eye of the surgeon and the positioning of where they want the replacement knee or hip. With the Mako, you meet with the surgeon in the office, you get a CT, and that CT gets mapped into the robot to ensure that they actually only take as much bone as they need to, no more, and that the implant is perfectly placed within a degree. And the surgeon has latitude to adjust that based on your gait. And the reason for all that is less pain, get you back to what you want to do sooner, right? That's the goal. No one wants to sit at home. Everybody wants to play pickleball. Everybody wants to try to race us, although I know they can't beat Lucas. Impossible.
Flattery will get you everywhere in the world, Chris. I know we mentioned a lot about robots, and we want to explain to our audience. So, robots just assist the doctors.
Correct.
We are not to that point in our society where the doctor hits enter and then they step aside. So
yes,
maybe kind of clear up any kind of misconceptions that folks might have, because they're like, I want a doctor working on me. I don't want a robot working on me.
Yeah, so the robot is really robot assisted surgery, right? I think that's probably the easiest way to say it. But to sort of build on that, the surgeon's in the room. That's part one, because people always are like, hey, is the surgeon somewhere else? No, they're not. They're in the room. And no, they don't let me do it. So it's still a surgeon, right? And they spend a lot of years training in medical school and residency and fellowship. And so for the Mako, the orthopedic surgeon is really navigating the robot. Mm-hmm. And the robot's just responding, saying, hey, don't go there. Now, the surgeon can always say, hey, I want to go there, because they see something different than the robot sees. So it's honestly like artificial intelligence teamwork, with a surgeon who knows exactly what they're doing, and they trained 10 years to do it.
And they can always override the robot.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
And from a Da Vinci perspective, which is the type of robot we use for bariatric surgery, urology, gynecology, colorectal, general surgery, that's really a device to help the surgeon navigate into places that honestly they couldn't get to laparoscopically historically. And not just that, but ergonomically for the surgeons, especially for longer surgeries, because of how they use the robot. They're not standing over the patient. They're at a console. And so you don't see the surgeon fatigue for longer surgeries. And as everybody knows, when you get fatigued, you don't do things as well, right? And so it's really been an awesome, technology that we've used across multiple specialties.
What's so fascinating about a lot of these robot assisted surgeries, you take these robots to schools in the area. We're talking like high school students get a chance to see them, touch them, and maneuver them. So it's not such a foreign aspect to them, because they are going to be the doctors of tomorrow. And
right.
I applaud you all for going out in the community to bring those devices there so kids can see them. So should they ever have to use it, or someone in their family has to use it, they're more knowledgeable about it.
Yeah, and we're seeing that with doctors that we're recruiting that are coming out of fellowship. It's the standard. Mm-hmm. It's what they trained on, whereas obviously not 20 years ago. But you also see a lot of surgeons that have been practicing for 20 years that recognize the technology, which I think is the coolest thing about healthcare, is it's always evolving. And in a lot of ways, everybody's always evolving, because if it's in the best interest of the patient, mm-hmm. right?
You've got the Nest there at Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. This is the labor and delivery unit at PMC, and that has just been very successful for the community. And you yourself, your family delivered there at the Nest.
Yes, that's right. We are a testimonial. and I will say, I've said it once before, he's the best behaved kid we have in the house. So, you know, if you want to have well-behaved kids, deliver at the Nest. Probably should put an asterisk on that comment, but it's honestly, it's a great unit. I've toured so many people through it. And, you know, I think when you're having your baby, whether it's a first or your fourth, whatever, having it in your community, a few minutes from your house, it's just awesome, right? It takes a whole load of stress off you. You have teammates who know who you are. You have familiarity with the OBGYN. The office or OB is attached to the hospital. So in terms of them going back and forth and seeing you, it's very efficient. And it's just been a neat experience for us personally, and for what I've seen, you know, the folks going through the unit.
Wow. Well, we're excited again to have Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill right here in our backyard. You can learn more about them. Just check them out online. Chris Mitchell is the CEO for Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill. Chris, great catching up with you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Bottom of the hour, 8:30 here on Palmetto Mornings.
I'm Chris Foster. A warning from President Biden in his farewell address about the concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people.
An oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy.
Also called for Supreme Court term limits and ethics reform and undoing a Supreme Court ruling granting presidents broad immunity. There's a holdup and an agreement on a ceasefire in Gaza.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu now says his cabinet won't meet over the ceasefire deal until Hamas backs down from what he calls a last-minute crisis. Netanyahu's office did not elaborate, but is accusing Hamas of going back on part of the accord. As part of the deal, 33 hostages would be released in exchange for the release of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. There are believed to be 4 living American hostages in Gaza, 3 dead. America's listening to Fox News.
Taking a final look at our Thursday morning commute, we get the all clear for York, Dexter, and Lancaster counties. Dave Lau Boulevard, Cherry Road, 70s Road, Highway 5, 21 and 160 in Rock Hill. Busy but accident free. Speaking of Rock Hill, we do have an accident underway. Constitution Boulevard at Hurlong Avenue, 77 northbound. It's a good ride out of York County to the state line. North of the border, working accidents, Airport Drive at 160 West Boulevard, Westinghouse Boulevard at Granite Street, I-85 South at US 176, and Lawyers Road at Maplewood Lane.
It's going to end up being a very beautiful day today, but it's also a very cold day out there to start out this morning across the Tri-County. We'll eventually make it back in the low 50s this afternoon, but plummet right back in the upper 20s tonight. Low 50s, sunshine for your Friday. We'll keep the 50s for the weekend, but rain returns Saturday.
Over to the WRHI News Center, where Stephen Stone's got a check of those local headlines, brought to you by Good Pharmacy, Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for 60 years, Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for 4 generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
In the WRHI News Center, once again, good morning. I am Stephen Stone. State House Bill 3216 would mandate the recording of classroom lessons statewide. South Carolina House Representative Mike Burns, Republican Greenville County, introducing the bill, claiming that it's to keep rogue educators from teaching lessons that are out of bounds. That's a quote. Legal experts don't think the bill is going to pass. Teachers and school administrators say they're concerned about student privacy. Governor McMaster, meanwhile, is requesting $240 million in disaster relief funding from the state legislature to address the aftermath of a devastating 2024 storm season here in South Carolina. Those funds will be used to repair damaged homes, roads, bridges, and agricultural losses caused by Hurricane Helene. Additionally, the budget proposal includes funding for a new grant program, school resource officers, a new neurological hospital, and a salary increase for public school teachers. Heath Sessions is back in office as a state representative with two interesting bills in the medical field at the top of his agenda.
I want to be full transparent and let folks hear those conversations.
Sessions is sponsoring a pricing transparency bill that will give patients and hospitals the right to see an estimated final cost of medical expenses before undergoing operations and procedures. Mr. Sessions believes this is encouraging more clarity in the medical process.
How do we empower doctors and patients to be leading voices in those decisions while also delivering quality care or better care at the best possible price?
And along with pricing transparency comes the right to shop bill. That's allowing the expected cost to be compared to other health care providers. The transparency bill would have to be passed first before the right to shop bill. The latter is a bill already a law in parts of the Southeast. Lancaster County is one of many in our state looking to stabilize and support their current and future growth. County Administrator Dennis Marstall on some of those ideas for the new year, beginning with utilities.
Ideas we're going to present to County Council as part of our retreat, thinking about staffing even for our EMS and fire, how they actually can work together on maybe some of the same shifts, and that'll help us relieve some of our ambulances from being on calls that maybe are not emergency calls, but just need some assist calls that maybe firefighters can help with. So thinking about how we do our service delivery is going to be part of our focus for 2025.
Now, these departments will not be alone in the new facility. Mr. Marstall is talking about expanding their voter registration office.
But we're also going to have a co-location with our voter registration elections office, all in the same building, but we're going to do a little renovation. And that way we'll have a permanent polling station. We're addressing for growth. We have more polling machines and different things that we need with our growth. And so we're really going to be able to find some new facilities that are better suited for those.
He also talked about the need for an expansion to the county's animal shelter. However, there are no plans for that just yet. In response to questioning from South Carolina senior U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, Attorney General nominee Pam Bondi yesterday said she would support classifying Mexican cartels as foreign terrorist organizations and expansion of detention centers for illegal immigrants. This coming at her confirmation hearing for Attorney General.
Do you support making certain drug cartels in Mexico foreign terrorist organizations?
I personally went to Mexico. I personally dealt with these cartels when I was a state prosecutor, and they are a grave and violent threat to our country. Yes,
advising
Senator.
The president. Good.
Bondi was confirmed as a nominee to be the country's top prosecutor and reform the Department of Justice. Democrats question her loyalty to the president-elect. Bondi, however, vowed independence from the White House and said that politics will not be playing a part in her decisions. In the WRHI News Center, I'm Stephen Stone.
What you don't understand about insurance. Brought to you by Carolina's Insurance and Investment Group in Rock Hill. Doing what we say we will do.
Pleased to have with us today from Carolina's Insurance and Investment Group, Austin Clinton. Austin's in the commercial side of the business, and there's a new word out there that people probably get confused by when you talk about inland marine policies.
That's right, Manning. And a lot of times whenever I bring up an inland marine policy, people think it has something to do with the boat because it has the word marine in it. But really, an inland marine policy is for specialty items or expensive items such as wedding rings, engagement rings, necklaces that are expensive, and all sorts of jewelry, paintings that, let's say, they're valued at maybe $10,000 or $15,000, and if something were to happen to that jewelry or art, you would want it to be covered at the correct value. And people think that it's covered in their personal property or business personal property for their home insurance or for their business, and really, you need an inland marine policy for it to be properly covered, because they'll cover it for the actual appraised value. A lot of times they do require an appraisal from a jeweler or whatever the piece is, whether it's artwork or expensive machinery. They will need an appraisal to make sure that you are valuing it correctly. And then if something were to happen to it, that is the agreed value for that item.
And be assured when you sit down with Carolina's Insurance and Investment Group, they're going to go through a detailed list. Do you have this? Do you have that? To make sure it is included. Because if something happens and you don't have that inland marine coverage, you're going to be out of luck.
Absolutely. And to have it properly covered, you do need to have an inland marine policy.
Austin Clinton is his name at Carolina's Insurance and Investment Group. Thank you, Austin.
Thank you, Manning.
Join us next week for What You Don't Understand About Insurance, brought to you by Carolina's Insurance and Investment Group in Rock Hill. Doing what we say we will do. Palmetto Mornings on WRHI and CN2. There ain't no rest for the wicked.